Coming of Age, celebrating 20 years of sin.
Seb Costello, what's the number one memory that stands out if I say 90.7 Sin FM to you?
I loved Sin. I really did. You know, when I got there in 2005, I just finished school, and to be in a radio station, it was like going to Disneyland. Honestly, it knocked me out. Here you are, you got a panel, you got sound effects, you know, you can bring things to life. So, you know, I love doing it. I was involved in a number of different shows. This kind of shows the era that it was from. We had a program with the name stolen from what was a very popular soap television show at the time called The Desperate Housewives. We thought it was very clever to call ourselves the Desperate House Boys.
Yep.
15 years on, it's not remotely funny, but that's what we thought. There's a good friend of mine, Dan Thomas, who was a groomsman at my wedding. I then did a show called The Final Countdown with Melbourne comic, who's now successful comic, Tommy Dasilo, who runs the Little Dum Dum Club podcast. Some people might be familiar with that. And I guess, you know, just the what was really exciting was starting the Get Cereal Breakfast Show. So my memory could be a bit hazy. You might have to help me here, Dylan. But I think prior to us doing that, the breakfast shift at Sin had a different team every morning. Is that right?
Mm. Yeah, I think it's gone back to that these days. But yes, there was.
Yeah.
It's funny you mentioned that you were on the start of Get Cereal because one simple search of Google, if I type in Seb Costello Sin FM, there's an article by Dan Ziffer, who's also an ex-sinner, now the guy who just tells us about financial doom and gloom on the ABC.
Wrote a great book on the banking commission.
Yeah, it's a good read, that one. But there's an article on you, and it reads as follows. This is from February 21st, 2007. Meet Seb. He's Melbourne's newest breakfast radio host, a hyper-confident and frequently hilarious 20-year-old who just happens to be the son of then-treasurer Peter Costello. There was a bit of attention on that at the time when you started, because your father was a pretty prominent politician at the time, and you sort of grew up in Canberra. You had a very interesting upbringing.
My dad was very much in public life then, but Sin couldn't be further from the corridors of power in Canberra. Yeah. And so the idea was, let's put a team together that would be the same every morning on Sin. So I think I'm not sure if it had been done before in the history of the station or not, but it was certainly changing the format as it was at the time. And so it was me and so really, really cool co-hosts in Fawn Goodall and Virginia Sanders, who we, in true radio fashion, did not refer to as Virginia. We referred to her as the Colonel.
Well, Colonel Sanders. Oh, there you go. Yes.
So, look, it was great. And I think Anthony McCormack was the guy's name who...
Great man, Tone. Great man, Tone.
Yeah, so he was the program director, I think, broadly, but also produced or sort of gave birth, if you like, if that makes sense, to this iteration of Get Cereal, the breakfast show. And he was great. And, mate, it was really exciting. You know, we were looking back at it now, you know, it's a... big commitment for all involved to be doing, you know, a daily breakfast show on community radio. But we just loved it and we loved the opportunity. I can't say enough good things about my time at Sin. It's amazing what I guess this look back must be all about is finding out what people have done after Sin. And I think you'll find a lot of people have gone on to do some impressive things. But I remember your show, Kicking Behinds, which, if people don't remember it, I genuinely mean this when I say it was just about the best show on the station. It was a footy comedy show, and you, Dylan, and your co-host, Tim, were hilarious. It was a really clever, funny, smart show. Matt, have you still got tapes of it?
I've got some tapes. There's some audio that exists, and we might play it throughout the time.
Honestly, your show was brilliant, mate.
We had a lot of fun making it, and you know, it's funny you mentioned that. You know, I was going through the archives, and I'm like, I went to the Brownlow Medal at 17 and snuck into after parties, and as a red carpet reporter, and stuff like that, and football was obviously a bit different then as well. You realize the notice. Actually, it's funny you mentioned that. I was thinking about what was footy like in that era, and I'm like, actually, when you reminisce about footy, that era of footy was shit. But let's continue on, because
you're right, and maybe that's why the off-field stuff was more fun.
Yeah, it was.
It was the Ross Lyon. Sorry, not Ross Lyon.
No, it was more
Ross and Paul Ruse. It was Sydney, more defense,
yeah, and like so,
you know, where you'd go watch a match and there'd be sort of 12 goals kicked between two teams.
Yeah.
So we had to kind of make fun. Yeah, you're right. We found fun another way.
Yeah, and we had Ben, and we had the Ben Cousins and West Coast situation at the time, which we thought was hilarious, but is now a really sad and sorry state of affairs.
Yeah, 15
years later. Yeah. To go back to your Get Cereal time, how much of an impact did having that opportunity to go breakfast radio 5 days a week in where you pretty much had free range to do what you want, how much of an impact did that have on you going forward? Because, I mean, you've been, obviously you're at Channel 9 now, but you've done Triple M. You've sort of been around the traps.
Yeah. What it did was totally solidify for me that I wanted a career in the media. You know, I wanted to do radio. You know, I know I've been in television at Channel 9 for 10 years, but that was nothing I'd ever imagined when I started at Sin back in 2005. You know, I wanted to do radio. And so the opportunity to do breakfast 5 days a week was not only a great opportunity to create content, to bring in listeners and to kind of reflect, you know, what youth culture sounded like at that time, but it also gave me plenty of material to create a demo tape. And from the work that I'd done at Sin, that demo tape eventually was put onto CD in sort of early 2007. CD's a compact disc for our younger viewers that used to record audio. I think you can see them in the National Museum in Canberra these days if you're interested. And I sent a CD to, oh gosh, dozens of stations around Australia and ended up getting my first job in radio, which was at a station called Max FM Taree on the mid-north coast of New South Wales in early 2007. And from then, a couple of other radio stations in the regional areas. And then I started producing at 3AW in Melbourne. So, you know, it was really everything. I wouldn't have a career if not for the time at Sin. And I loved every minute of it. You mentioned, memories of Sin at the start, Dylan. And I hope they still do this. But in our day, they had a Sin Awards.
Yes, like I think it still exists, yes.
It still exists. And it was at the Chinese restaurant in the city. And, you know, for most of us, you mentioned you were 17. I think I just turned 18. And, it was a very thirsty occasion for me. particularly, and, you know, if you didn't win, which we didn't. But it shows how much we loved it. We were actually upset that we didn't win, because we were all proud of the work we were doing. So, you know, I love the fact that Sin is still around, that it continues to give an opportunity to young people to have a voice.
And it's amazing, Seb, when you go into various workplaces across the industry, how many people from Sin you end up working with again. You and I have crossed paths several times over the past, 15 or so years. Your producer ends up being someone who did something there, or your cameraman, or whoever, you know, another colleague ends up being there. The network is phenomenal.
Absolutely. And it was what you made it. So, again, I don't know what the setup is like now, but in our day there was the broadcast studio, which was always on air, and then there was a production studio. I think there was only two studios in those days, might still be the case, but the production studio was basically open, you know, first in, best dressed, you know, and so I'm sure you did and I did spend hours in that production studio, you know, any spare moment I had, to work on sketches and pieces of pre-prepared audio and whatnot. So by the time you did get to air, you, in your own mind, sounded as schmick as you could. And again, like I said, it was like Disneyland, you know, just being able to play in those spaces and you know, feel like, you know, you were taking a step closer to starting a career. So, I mean, Sin was awesome.
Seb, it's been so much fun chatting and reminiscing with you.
Absolutely. I mean, DJ, Dylan, we did a OB
on the
opening of the basement at Maya. So people might know the basement. It's been open for quite a while. But when it first opened, they had an OB caravan.
That's right.
With Sin broadcast live.
That's right. I don't know if Sid would do that. I seem to be that recalling that being very controversial because it was a tie-in with Maya. So there may have been a sponsorship. And
Paul Barry from Media Watch was sniffing around. You know,
oh, he was.
Coming up to John Laws, Alan Jones cash for comments.
Yeah.
He wanted to nail the Student Youth Network.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
We had to be very careful.
Yeah, absolutely. And I also recall, I don't know if you were ever stuck with these OBs. one more story, but there would be OBs where we would turn up to locations and the link to the studio wouldn't work, so you had to fake it. Mm. And you would basically do a fake radio show from a PA system pretending to be on air.
Yeah, maybe. And it could, I reckon I did one even that was at RMIT University O-Week. So the studio was probably only 100 metres away. And we couldn't get the link to work, but at least it came through the speakers in the hallway. So, no, mate, happy, happy times. It's fantastic to hear that Sin's brought up this milestone.
Oh, Seb, it's been a lot of fun chatting with you.
No, thank you. On you, Dylan.
Coming of age, celebrating 20 years of Sin.